Anything you want to add to anything you said today?
We didn't really talk much about platinum sensitive disease. I wanted to just highlight a couple things there. A lot of people will ask, you know, what do you do for a patient who's got platinum sensitive disease? And again, also, how do you define it? So traditionally, we've defined platinum sensitive as the time period for which patients given platinum again would have a likelihood for response. And so traditionally, we've defined that at 6 months, but that really comes from data that's originated from Blackledge and Markman in 1989, 1991. But I think it kind of underscores the fact that the phenotype of platinum sensitivity should really extend across all drugs, and that most drugs do perform better in patients with longer treatment-free intervals. And there's almost a linear relationship between those two if you map them out in some of these trials. But having said that, platinum-sensitive disease, we tend to approach with combination therapy, because I think we feel like since the patients are most likely to respond to chemotherapy, let's treat them like we did up front. So both paclitaxel and carboplatin and newly now approved gemcitabine and carboplatin are important combinations to consider in that setting. And I think that in response to a meta-analysis that was presented at ASCO that would suggest that these combinations tend to help patients out in the short term, I think the major question that comes up, and we've discussed many times, is whether or not the sequencing of the same two agents would get you to the same endpoint. And that actually was originally a hypothesis we started with back at when 213 was first ongoing, but it's now the focus of a trial from a friend of ours, Dr. Angeles Alvarez Secord at Duke, who's looking at docetaxel and carboplatin given as combination versus sequence. And so that'll be an important trial. I think many of us, having lived through the experience of GOG 132, when we saw that the sequencing of taxane and platinum could get you to the same endpoint potentially in terms of survival, we may actually see that the combination of these agents add toxicity and some short-term gains, but nothing in long-term survival. So that story's still out on that regard.
So again, I'll repeat a question I've asked you a few times, which is how do you approach these patients off study?
Yeah, so I think that I'm pretty much on the party line with this. I tend to try to offer the patients the most aggressive therapy I feel is safe. If these patients are good candidates for surgery, as I mentioned earlier, with resectable disease, I'll actually consider them because I think that surgery in combination with therapy could be beneficial for these patients, particularly those highly selected ones. Off protocol and without surgery considerations, if the toxicities are not too high, I think that the data for both the reduction with taxane and platinum or the use of the gemcitabine and carbo, particularly in patients who have neurotoxicity from their first-line therapies, I will recommend those as well. So,
what have you seen yourself specifically in terms of gem and carbo in terms of tolerance and also anti-tumor effects?
Yeah, it's very tolerable. You know, it's approved for use in a weekly administration, the dose, the gemcitabine, and to make that administration safe, we use a little bit lower dose on the carboplatin. I think gem and cisplatin off-label is also a reasonable strategy to use in this tumor type. The interplay of those two drugs and their synergy in the lab makes that an attractive option. One modification we've made in patients that are intolerant to gem carbo or gem cis given in the traditional fashion is to break it up in a Q14-day administration pattern where both the platinum and the gem are given on a Q14-day basis. And that's also very well tolerated. And we've seen some pretty impressive responses. And I think one of the issues that comes up in patients with response like this is how long do you keep them on it? You know, if you get a patient who's got stable disease at best, I'm not so sure I know that drug C that I'm not using is actually going to do better. So we tend to treat those patients for a long time. And then when that happens, we do see some cumulative toxicity. So we try to pick those regimens that potentially could be nursed out for a long period of time.
What kind of cumulative toxicity do you see when you use gem carbo?
Well, I think that what we've seen, at least in the short term, you know, is the myelosuppression issues. There have been some reports of gem-related pulmonary toxicities, but we really haven't seen much of that in ovarian cancer as great. But we do see that myelosuppression, and so we do make some modifications, especially in patients that are showing some benefit of that, responding to it or having symptomatic improvement.